Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From our second reading, St. Paul wrote to the Philippians, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And Jesus said, what then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. These are our texts. We'll start with St. Paul and his letter to the church in Philippi. It's worth knowing that this letter was written while St. Paul was imprisoned for preaching Christ. And here he reflects a little bit on the change that he underwent after his conversion. St. Paul writes, I count everything as loss. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. What is St. Paul saying here? He's saying that everything he previously counted as fruit, all the works of the law he'd done, all the personal righteousness he'd built up, all the things that earned praise and honor from others, all of it, he tossed out as rotten and putrid. It looked good on the outside. Humanly speaking, he had every reason for confidence in the flesh. St. Paul's life and works were a match for anyone. If you made one of those brackets, March Madness brackets, of the greatest people of all time, and you included St. Paul in the initial round, I bet he would make it really, really close to the end. Because compared to others, compared to us, he was golden. And yet St. Paul, looking back at that former life, realized that he was fooling himself with that confidence. The confidence he had was placed in the wrong place. When he looked at all that previous light in the light of Christ, he saw just how blemished and artificial his everything was. Let's look at that everything. Circumcised on the eighth day, he says, according to the Jewish law, as if circumcision was something of merit or worth before God. As if circumcision provided some benefit apart from faith and trust in God's promises. Doing religious ceremonies to check boxes or impress God, St. Paul had done it. It's a loss, he says. Rubbish. Or number two, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As if DNA is what counts rather than the faith of Abraham. As if family ties and parental personal histories are guarantees of salvation. Banking on the fact that your parents or grandparents believed. Claiming to be perhaps a Lutheran of Lutherans. St. Paul could claim the same. It's a loss, he says. Rubbish. As to the law, the third one, a Pharisee, as if belonging to a certain group is what matters, or as if being able to debate obscure points of theology will impress God, counting on the righteousness and purity of your beliefs, St. Paul could do the same. It's a loss, he says. Rubbish. Or how about this one? As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. as if passion for the cause, sniffing out heresy, and hunting down others earns one a better place. It's a loss. Rubbish, says St. Paul. Or how about this? As to righteousness under the law, blameless. As if outward obedience to the law can hide what's inside. You might remember what Jesus said comes out of the heart of man. Greed, wickedness, lust. Jesus called this way of life, the righteousness under the law, he called it like that of a whitewashed tomb. It looks really, really good on the outside, but on the inside it contains death. It's a loss, St. Paul says. Rubbish. Circumcision on the eighth day of the people of Israel, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless, you could find nothing against him, and St. Paul throws it all out the window. Rubbish, he says. When he writes to the Romans, he makes it clear. None is righteous. No, not one. So the question for you today is this. What are the things that you've been counting on? What are the things that you value? What are the things that you would place before God and put your confidence in, saying, look, Lord, these are the things I've done, I've believed, I've said, I've lived, I've held to. And if you're looking at yourself, St. Paul would say, just cut your losses now and count it all as rubbish before God. Because if it doesn't come from confidence in Jesus, if it isn't grounded in his circumcision, that is, the cutting off of our sinful flesh in his death, if it isn't placed in his faithfulness as the new and true Israel, if your confidence isn't based in the law as taught and fulfilled by him, if it isn't founded on his zeal for mercy and forgiveness, if it doesn't flow from Christ, it's worth nothing before God. And remember who's saying this. Remember, this is St. Paul, who had everything going for him, who was the favorite of favorites, and could count on everything he'd done. He throws it all away. Everything is a loss, he says. It's rubbish. Why? In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but a righteousness which comes apart from the law, through faith in Christ. St. Paul says, I would give it all up just to have Christ. Or in other words, when St. Paul ran into the stone that the builders rejected, when he came into contact with Christ, he was broken by it. All of his good works fell upon that stone and were broken to bits and pieces. And St. Paul said, you know what? That's okay. I didn't need those anyway. Paul had been a part of the people of Israel. These were the people that are talked about in the Old Testament, the people whom God rescued out of Egypt and then, like a vine, planted in the land, the promised land. God made them into a vineyard. And God expected, having done this for his people, having nourished them and cherished them with all that he had, he expected to get from them good fruit. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord called Israel, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. And then he sent his servants, the prophets, one after another after another. The prophets came to the vineyard, and guess what they found? Rubbish. Loss. Everything that was counted as gain counted as nothing before God. The old fruit of the law, keeping everything that God had done, all the sacrifices that God had established for them, doing it simply for the sake of doing it, counted as nothing. What it revealed was not the good fruit of their lives, but the bad fruit of their sin. And even though they, like St. Paul, could claim to have it all, in the end, they ultimately had nothing. And so God sent these servants to call to repentance his people, to call them back from faith in themselves, from confidence in their own works, and to trust in his mercy and his promises. But you know what else those servants found when they went back to God's people with that call to repentance? They did not find willing ears. They found hardened hearts, and they were met with persecution, suffering, and even death. Israel didn't respect God's servants, and they didn't respect God himself. And this is that moment in the parable that Jesus tells when the owner of the vineyard says, "I know what I'll do. I'll send my son." This is the new thing that God has done in Christ Jesus. The new thing is not simply that God sent another one to the vineyard to collect the fruit. The new thing is that God sent his son in the flesh into the vineyard to meet those wicked tenants and call them to repentance. He sent his son into the vineyard. And you know what they did to him? They did not heed his voice. They did not listen to his warning. They did not believe that all of the righteousness they'd accumulated counted for nothing. They thought that it counted for everything. And so they killed him, put to death at the hands of sinful men. The stone that the builders rejected, they looked at Jesus and they said, "You can't build on that. Not worth anything. Throw it out on the junk pile." And so they put him on the cross, and then he was laid in the grave. And they left him for worthless. They said of our Lord, "Loss, rubbish, that Jesus and everything he says." And you know what God did with the rubbish that they made Jesus into? On the third day, he raised him from the dead. And he took what the world called rubbish and garbage and loss and worthless, and he made Jesus, his crucified son, into the cornerstone of the church, and he made Jesus into the cornerstone of your life. And he gave to us a righteousness, not according to the law, but a righteousness that is received by faith. When Jesus speaks this parable, he is giving a warning to the people of Israel. He is warning them against rejecting the Messiah. He is warning them against trusting in their own righteousness. He is warning them against counting his righteousness as nothing, because he promises that God's mission that he is about will succeed. Anyone who rejects Jesus and his work rejects it at their own peril. Anyone who says of Jesus and what he has done that it's rubbish and holds on to their own rubbish instead will find that it counts for nothing in the end. Despite all opposition, God will build his church on the crucified and resurrected Jesus, and he will build his church on the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. "That I may know him," St. Paul said, "and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, that I may become like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." St. Paul has a goal. He has an aim. He has something that he is striving for and pressing toward. It is the resurrection of the dead on the last day. And as St. Paul looks at how things stand, he understands that it is not by his own righteousness that he will attain this, but rather by the work of Jesus Christ and what he has done. Jesus has become the cornerstone of a new building, of a new vineyard, of a new kind of righteousness. The righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, rejected and become the cornerstone, is the righteousness that bears real fruit. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to hear God's law, which does reveal and condemn our sin, but even more, we need to hear the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to hear of his life, his death, and his resurrection, because that is the only word from God that will bear in us and through us real good fruit and a new life. Knowing what Jesus has done, knowing how he lived his life for us, knowing what he gives to us, is what sets us free from clinging to our own righteousness, from listing up before God all the things we have going for us. We can throw all that out because we've got him. A life lived not for himself, but for us. That our lives may be lived not for ourselves, but for others as well. Build your life on this, on the precious cornerstone, on the righteousness that comes from God and is received by faith. And throw out all the things that you would count as righteous before God. Instead of spending your life trying to accumulate and earn God's favor and be pleasing in his sight, simply spend your life on loving and serving your neighbor, because God has taken care of what you need and he's given it to you in his Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.